Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Inside the ESPN 106.7 studios here in Auburn, Alabama, at the Auburn Network Radio Alabama family here. It's great to be here. This is The Drive. Dan Peck bringing it in on a Tuesday. Hello, everybody, and welcome, if you will. Bill Cameron will be here shortly. But we're going to have Andy Burcham on. It's a fun Tuesday show. Jake Crane should join us in hour number two. Champ Week. It's conference tournaments getting started around the country or continuing around the country today. The SEC getting in action tomorrow with the opening round games of the conference tournament up in Nashville. Auburn will be in action early in the day on Friday as part of the quarterfinals as the number one seed in the SEC tournament this year. A lot of exciting stuff to talk about. We continue our analysis of the rough week Auburn had against Texas A&M and Alabama before they head into the conference tournament as the number one seed. We'll talk about that. Talk a little baseball as well. Auburn and Vanderbilt conference play getting started. Josh Donaldson Day on Friday, and some midweek action before Auburn gets rolling in SEC play. Auburn had a nightmarish start to SEC play last year in baseball, and it just feels imperative to avoid, it feels imperative to find some momentum early on in conference play and avoid a hole that deep. We're going to get to Andy Burcham, a voice of the Auburn Tigers, in just a second. He's on the he's on the Drive Hotline, and we'll tell you all about the Drive Hotline and the text box and the podcast and all that. I didn't want to wait. Shout out to we very recently had our good buddy Barry McKnight on the show, the voice of the Troy Trojans, and he will be calling an NCAA tournament game because the Troy Trojans win the Sun Belt tournament yesterday, defeating Arkansas State, a favored Arkansas State team in that tournament. And Scott Cross has the team in the tournament for the first time, Troy's first trip since 2017. And big shout out to everybody down in Troy for the Trojans advancing to the NCAAs. Let's get to Andy Burcham, the voice of the Tigers, joining us on the phone. Andy, great to talk to you. How are you doing?
Doing very well. Sitting at Toyota Field watching Auburn take batting practice right now. Gorgeous, gorgeous afternoon here in Madison. Get ready for Auburn and UT Martin this evening at 6, broadcast 5:45 on Wings 94.3.
Andy broadcasting live from Rocket City and you know what? And I think for Butch and the Auburn hitters, they're hoping they have liftoff tonight, right? In Rocket right. City with conference play just around the corner. Andy, I mentioned Barry McKnight and the Trojans punching their ticket in Pensacola yesterday. You've been around college basketball long enough to know that feeling of a pretty long a pretty long drought for a program before they can win a conference championship and enjoy a trip to the NCAA tournament or the first time for a coach at a program. It's one of the really cool things about this sport, you know, in those one bid leagues like the Sun Belt, yeah. when a team finally gets to go after a long time or maybe for the first time.
Well, that league, I think, had what, 4 regular season quad champions, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct.
This year, and Troy and South were two of those, and along with Arkansas State, and that Arkansas State had beaten a Memphis team early in the non-conference schedule. So that's a very impressive win. My first year, Dan, in radio was in professional full-time radio was 1983-84, and I was calling games at Illinois State, and Illinois State was and still is in the Missouri Valley Conference, and that was far from a one bid league. There were 5 teams from the Missouri Valley Conference that went to the NCAA tournament that year, including Illinois State, the team that I was calling, and just the thrill of getting to go to an NCAA tournament. We I had to take the train from Bloomington, Illinois to Lincoln, Nebraska for the NCAA tournament. And Illinois State beat Alabama in the first round and lost to Ray Meyer and DePaul in the second round. It turned out it was Ray Meyer's last win. He retired and was beaten in the next round in St. Louis.
So Andy, your first NCAA tournament game to call was a win over Alabama?
Yeah, sure was. Well, that's, and Alabama, yeah. And the year before, Illinois State lost to Ohio on a buzzer beater. Don't want to bring up any bad memories there. and Alabama had a shot at a buzzer beater in 84 to beat Illinois State and missed it. Mm. And you talk about a guy that went crazy on the air that day. That was my first of what turns out to be many encounters with the Crimson Tide on radio.
Yeah, well, I guess that's an awful segue into the...
I've got one. Andy, you took the train to Nebraska.
The train, to and back.
You took the train to Nebraska. It was Chad Baker Mazzara who was riding a rail on Saturday for Auburn after...
That's an even worse one, Dan. That's fine. Really, yeah, well,
that's a bad segue, Dan, yeah, I'm telling you.
You're not kidding. Well, we do need to talk about it. Look, Auburn still... Sure. I mean, they're the SEC regular season champs. By themselves, Bruce Pearl, Jani Broome, and Chad, and Tahad, quite a few players picking up some postseason honors. But, boy, a tough way to wrap up the regular season with that loss on Saturday afternoon at Neville.
You know, it took away what was a really, really good basketball game.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just a fabulous basketball game on Saturday that had all kinds of twists and turns in it. And the way it ended was heartbreaking for Auburn, to be sure. No question about that. But really a good game. And when Alabama had the ball after Jani Broome had tied the game with 14.7 seconds to go in overtime, and when they got the ball to the right wing, and it was just, I guess it was the angle that I had, when Sears got the screen and they rubbed off not one but two guys, and he turned the corner and had a wide open lane, my stomach dropped at that point. And I could see it coming. And to his credit, he was able to knock home the shot and Alabama got out of there with a win. Yeah, it was a heartbreaker. It was a heartbreaker for Auburn, a tough week for Auburn, because Auburn was clearly outplayed Tuesday at Texas A&M in just about every facet of the game. But that game on Saturday was just, it was a really, really good basketball game to be able to call in spite of the heartbreaking finish to it.
And it was really too bad, on top, compounding the reasons why the Sears shot is heartbreaking, is Jani had just hit that three-pointer moments earlier that you feel like could be the game-tying shot, the shot that forces another overtime, one of those moments that you'll remember from Jani's career, and it's ultimately it doesn't turn out with a storybook ending. You can notice, Andy, it's remarkable on the replay. Like once Sears has a little bit of daylight, there are some Auburn fans reacting as though they already know how the next few seconds are going to play out, because he is somebody who, you know, he's one of the more certain things in college basketball right now is Mark Sears with a little bit of daylight going downhill left. And Denver had done a...
And the one stat about Mark Sears in both of Auburn's games against him is, do not let him go left. Mm-hmm. Do not let him get to his left hand on a drive. And I thought Auburn did a really good job of that in Tuscaloosa. And I thought did a really good job for, 60 or 59 minutes and, 15 seconds or 45 seconds on Saturday. So, really, really, excuse me. 49 minutes and whatever, you know what I'm saying. All but
15 seconds of overtime.
Almost. Yeah, exactly. How about
44 minutes and 58 seconds?
I'll go with almost the entire game. Almost the entire game. And something notable about the way about Denver being out there is I think that's, you know, that's what, you know, it's maybe one of the biggest issues with the Chad ejection, right? Is that when you don't have Chad available, players like Denver and Tahad and Miles.
Yeah, Denver coming back from an injury and Tahad both playing, and I thought you could see the wear on Tahad. When you don't have your legs, that's when somebody who's an excellent free throw shooter may miss, and Tahad only makes one of three. So, yeah, some of the secondary, you know, you may not realize it when you're looking at the numbers that the other players put up, but that's part of what losing Chad meant.
But you lose your second leading scorer. You lose a very good defender and rebounder. You lose one of your very best free throw shooters at 90% this season, and you lose the depth,
right,
of having to use someone else to play his minutes down the stretch of that game. And we saw that last year against Yale in the NCAA tournament, and we saw that for the final almost 11 minutes of regulation and all of overtime on Saturday. And he is an important part of this basketball team. It's imperative that Auburn keeps him in the games from this point moving forward, because we've seen it twice now in two huge games, and Auburn has lost both of those games in the closing seconds. Against Yale, out in Washington last year in Spokane, and then this past Saturday at Neville Arena.
It would appear that, seeing and hearing what Joe Lenardi's had to say, that Auburn still is the number one overall national seed. But I'm 100% sure that Bruce Pearl isn't going to take that for granted and isn't thinking that, oh, well, we can go in and rest people and it doesn't matter if we win or lose in the first round of the tournament.
Not a chance. And listen, when he is asked about where Auburn should be, he is convinced that Auburn's the number one seed.
Right.
You look at the schedule, you look at the quad one wins, you look at winning a regular season championship in the best year that the Southeastern Conference has ever had. On the other hand, you know, one of the things he told me in the post game on Saturday is we've got to get better. We've got to be better. We've got to be a better rebounding team.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really evident Tuesday at A&M, and it was evident at times in some key minutes and key situations against Alabama on Saturday.
Overtime,
rebounds,
especially.
Yeah, especially those offensive rebounds, because Alabama took advantage, I don't know, two or three three-point plays on offensive rebounds on Saturday in a game that was decided by a last-second shot. Those plays, missed free throws, that type of thing, you know, looms large in a game like that. And just this Auburn ball club, just it has to continue to get better, even though I think this is the number one seed in the NCAA tournament going in.
I've believed Auburn is the number one overall seed for a while, Andy. I think if Auburn were to lose on Friday, and it was three straight losses to end the season, and I know you're not supposed to be a prisoner of the moment, and the total resume matters, including all of the wins from November and December, like that all factors in. But practically, like if Auburn were to lose the quarterfinal matchup on Friday to either South Carolina, Arkansas, or Ole Miss, that would probably be the worst team that's beaten Auburn all season, which is a testament to the quality of Auburn's other losses. But still, that's not it would, as Bruce Pearl says, he wants to go to Nashville and see this team get better. A loss Friday, even if it could be to a tournament team like Ole Miss or Arkansas, would be hard to just dismiss as, oh, well, they're looking ahead to the NCAA tournament.
I don't think there's any way this ball club is looking forward to the NCAA tournament. I understand how some would say that if that's the case. I don't believe it. I don't believe that this team is looking forward to anything other than whichever team it plays on Friday at noon, coverage at 11:30 on Wings 94.3, a doubleheader of action on Friday, because we've got Auburn baseball later on that night against Vanderbilt. So I just think, I understand how folks come to that conclusion. I just don't believe that's the case, guys. Auburn don't want to be the team taking a three-game losing streak into the NCAA tournament. Absolutely not. There's a great deal to play for. Auburn wants to win a second straight SEC tournament championship and pad that resume as the number one seed. Get ready to go then to Lexington, Kentucky, for the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, they'd like to be the first Auburn team ever to win the regular season and tournament in the same year. So, I mean, there's still plenty out there for them. That coming up Friday. You mentioned baseball.
Well, think about the intrigue too. Briefly before we get to baseball, like of those teams, you know, South Carolina. It feels unlikely that they're going to win two games and play Auburn. But if so, that's a team that lost a heartbreaker to Auburn in Columbia. Arkansas. You talk about heartbreakers, right? Like they led Auburn with 4 minutes to play in Neville Arena, despite Big Z missing.
Every three.
A dozen threes.
Yep.
And then Ole Miss played two of their three worst games of the season against Auburn and would desperately like to get their win back if they could, even if it's a bad matchup for Auburn, but would desperately like to change the momentum of that route. Because they've played the combined score. Andy, remember this, if Ole Miss is the opponent on Friday. The combined score of the four Chris Beard Bruce Pearl games since Chris Beard got to Oxford, like, I mean, Auburn's winning by, I think it's over 15 points per game in that series, and Ole Miss would love to change that in Nashville on Friday.
Any team that Auburn plays in this SEC tournament, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, will be a very, very tough matchup, regardless of who it is. That's how good this league is. This year, that a South Carolina team that Auburn was fortunate to beat, and that was the game. Remember that Janai injured his ankle for the first time. Whether it's Arkansas, which you know Auburn perhaps was fortunate to get out of Neville Arena with a win, or Ole Miss, that I think Auburn played two of its best games against Ole Miss this season. That's just Friday, and then you look to what could be Saturday. Is that possible that you get? You know, a Tennessee again in the second round of the NCAA or the SEC tournament. And then, of course, on the other side, the possibility of Alabama or Florida on Sunday. I mean, it doesn't matter who Auburn's playing. This league is just too good this year for any team to look beyond any team. Even if it's Friday in that first game, and let's say that South Carolina upsets two straight opponents to get there. You don't think that they have Auburn's attention? Just look back at the game that was played in Columbia earlier this season.
Oh yeah, you're right. I mean, it's great to be able to have that bye. I think this is very beneficial for Auburn to have, you know, from Saturday until Friday to try to get everybody as healthy and get their minds right.
No question about it. Hopefully, you know, Denver Jones continues to improve with his ankle. Same for Janai. And his shoulder as well, and everybody. Chad Baker's been a team that has been beat up most of the season. So, well, let's hope that these guys they will be practicing, but let's hope that they get the rest that they need as they get ready to go to Nashville. They'll go to Nashville on Wednesday, a full day on Thursday. They will practice at Bridgestone Arena briefly, and then I think they're going to go to Vanderbilt and for the full practice that evening before the game. On Friday morning or Friday afternoon, I should say.
Can hear the balls making, you know, bats making contact with balls there in the background. Andy up at Trash Panda Stadium for a big non-conference matchup. Well, the non-conference game that will lead into SEC play. Speaking of Nashville and Vandy, I mean Auburn hosting the Vanderbilt Commodores this weekend. Is it Alex Petrovic going for the Tigers tonight?
Yeah, Petrovic tonight. I think we'll see several Auburn pitchers tonight. I think they want to see. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see Alvarez in a relief role tonight. And I think they want to look at him perhaps for a relief role on the weekend as well. And I wouldn't be surprised if maybe a Dylan Watts is another one of those guys. John Armstrong could get, and it may be guys for an inning tonight. I think we're going to see a ton of guys. Carlson tonight, Hayden Murphy tonight. Guys that pitched well last weekend. Guys that didn't particularly pitch well last weekend. Johnson's another one of those guys who was, by the way, taking some batting practice because he is a two-way player for the Tigers. Auburn will get UT Martin tonight. Coached by Ryan Jenkins, former Auburn catcher.
Mm-hmm.
So the two dugouts with Auburn in them, the UT Martin, the Skyhawks come in at 6-8 on the season. Fourth time that Auburn has played here at Toyota Field, home of the Trash Pandas And Auburn, to this point, is 3-0 in this game. Hopefully 4-0 when we get out of here tonight and Auburn gets ready for Vanderbilt this weekend.
Yeah, and one of the reasons, I mean, you're talking about it, we mentioned yesterday, things going pretty well for Auburn baseball right now, though, I mean, still looking for the right pieces and finding right combinations there in the bullpen. Auburn was, right. I mean, Auburn was close to sweeping this past weekend, but couldn't hang on to a 9-2 lead, and that's one that really hurts. And they've got some arms, but yeah, I think games like this could be very important, trying to find some guys that you're going to need over the weekends in SEC play.
Hayden Murphy with a struggle on Saturday, and yep. Dylan Watts with a struggle on Saturday. And those are two guys that coming into this season were thought to be key pieces to the bullpen. And Auburn needs those guys to be key pieces to the bullpen at this point. So I expect we'll see both of those guys tonight, and an opportunity for those guys to show that they need to be in the weekend rotation for Auburn. If there has been one question mark. Mm-hmm. For this team through the first third of the season, it is relief and closing at this point, in spite of the fact that Auburn has just, what, 3-4 losses on the season.
Yeah, just three.
That is, I think, the big question mark at this point is who can you count on in a key situation out of the bullpen at this point?
Should be a good one. As you mentioned, I mean, got to be perfect baseball weather up there. What a gorgeous Beautiful. Day it is today.
It's about 74 degrees and beautiful sunny conditions. Obviously, will cool off as this game goes on tonight. But it is a beautiful, beautiful late afternoon, early evening for baseball.
Looking forward to the broadcast this evening. Andy, update us on, what's on the schedule here on the network.
Right now, the Talking Tigers podcast is with Auburn gymnastics coach Jeff Graber. He looks back 10 years at Auburn's Super 6 team. In 2015, it was Auburn's first Super 6 team since in 22 years, I believe. And, of course, they don't even have the Super 6 anymore. It's down to a Final Four. But that was such a huge team in the progression of the program. So that's the Talking Tigers podcast. Coming up Monday, very different podcast for us. Stephanie Meyer is a PhD student in the Samuel Ginn College of Engineering and is one of the people that has headed up Auburn's autonomous IndyCar program that has run both at Las Vegas and at Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, in Las Vegas, they took home the prize for the best lap. They ran 162 miles an hour with an autonomous car.
Wow.
It's an IndyCar. It's an Indy Light car. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we talked with Stephanie about that on the next Talking Tigers podcast. Of course, baseball tonight. Brad will have a Tiger Talk on Thursday out at Baumhauer's Victory Grill at 6. And then on Friday, Auburn basketball in the quarterfinals of the SEC tournament. Randall Dickey, Jacob Hillman join me on the call from Bridgestone Arena. We're on the air at 11:30 on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Let's just go ahead and put it that way. For Auburn basketball this weekend. Baseball this weekend at 6 o'clock Friday, 6 o'clock Saturday, and 2 o'clock on Sunday. Brad and Jason Caldwell will have the calls for you from Plainsman Park this weekend. And Auburn softball is also back at home this weekend after a tough trip indeed to Mississippi State. The Tigers are home against Texas A&M on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday out of J&B Moore Field. So that's all the stuff we're doing on the network, Bill, Ben.
Sounds good, Andy. Hopefully, you're not making your way back from Nashville till late Sunday evening Sunday evening.
That is the plan right now. Yes, indeed.
All right, Andy. Thanks a lot. Have a great broadcast tonight. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, guys. Take care. War Eagle.
Voice of the Tigers, Andy Burcham, joining us as he does on Tuesdays. We'll get to our first break of the afternoon. We'll open up the phone lines. Love for you to join in 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar.
You can also text the show 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
Come on in and join us here on the Tuesday Drive.
The Drive. The Drive. With Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
Hey, this is Jacob Goins, host of On the Line on ESPN 106.7 and Abby Award-winning voice of the Auburn High Tigers. When I'm looking for a quick and delicious lunch or a high-quality sit-down dinner, Acre Restaurant is my go-to spot in Auburn. From the amazing starters and snacks like the pimento cheese or the fried okra basket to a lighter lunch option like the strawberry candied walnut salad, you can be like me and order my go-to entree for lunch, the Pepper Jack Fried Chicken Sandwich. Bread and butter pickles, pit-smoked bacon, jalapeno mayo with their house brioche bun and french fries. And you better not leave without having a slice of their famous peanut butter pie. Acre Restaurant in Auburn is a perfect lunch option for a guy like me who needs a quick, delicious meal before I get back to the studio. You can check out Acre's lunch, dinner, or brunch menus on their website at acreauburn.com. And the best part? You don't need a reservation. You can just come on by. So the next time you need a delicious meal at lunchtime, take a visit to my friend
here in the studio. We'd love for you to join in. Anything on your mind, 334-321-1390. Your thoughts on, the SEC tournament, Auburn going in again, having lost their last two. I looked in there. There's only a couple of teams that going in have, I think there's only one team that's lost more than the two in a row that Auburn has lost going in. So they definitely want to turn it around and get their full confidence as they get ready for the NCAA tournament. And I guess Lenardi today made it sound like Auburn probably would still be the number one overall seed, even if they lose their first game in the SEC tournament. Ooh. But it didn't sound like a week ago we were hearing, it wouldn't matter. Wouldn't matter, even if Auburn lost their last two games. But now that they have lost those two, I don't think that it's a sure thing, and you know Bruce Pearl wants his team, to bounce back from that Alabama loss.
And like we just said with Andy, like November and December still count, and they should count a lot in what the committee decides to do. If Auburn were to lose its last three games of the season leading up to the NCAA tournament, it's a little bit tougher to make them the number one overall seed, especially when the competition – Houston, I guess, is in that mix too. But Duke, Florida, and Alabama all have head-to-head wins against that Auburn team that you're considering. And in the case of Duke and Florida, unavenged wins.
Right. They are also considered they're number one seeds right now as well.
Although to me, even if Florida won the NCAA, even if Florida won the SEC tournament, and even with the win over Auburn head-to-head, there still seems to be some distance as far as total season body of work because of the non-conference schedule Auburn played versus the non-conference schedule Florida played. Now, since mid-January, since February 1st, Florida probably has a stronger...
Since you started conference play.
Exactly. Florida,
the thing is, Florida's worst loss? Is it Missouri at home?
Probably. At Georgia, maybe, would be a worse loss than Missouri at home. Maybe. They also lost to Kentucky, right? That was at Rupp. I'd say at Georgia would be, because Missouri's a slightly more, although the Missouri game, like you said, was at home.
Yeah.
Florida has, you're right, respectable. All three of those are tournament teams. The Georgia win ultimately could make them a solidly in the tournament kind of team. I still think, but losing Friday, I think, would complicate things as far as Auburn's status as the number one overall team in the NCAA tournament. I think with a win Friday, Lexington and Atlanta are both pretty much guaranteed for folks attending the NCAA tournament wanting to see Auburn, assuming Auburn gets to the second weekend. A loss Friday, and I still don't know if an SEC team could put together the resume to move ahead of Auburn for the number one seed in Atlanta, and I still think Duke would pick Newark. So it's it's still I think it's trending towards Lexington and Atlanta for Auburn as a one seed. I think that's assuredly the case with a win Friday.
Mm-hmm.
With a loss Friday, maybe you want to see what happens over the weekend.
Yeah, that is where I worry a little bit about the committee. We've heard so many times through the years that they like to see how a team is doing coming down the stretch.
And I think Lexington is certain no matter what.
Yes.
Like, I don't think Auburn, even with a loss Friday, could fall far enough to not get to not be a one seed in the Lexington pod in the first weekend. Could Auburn fall behind a team that would rather play in Atlanta or would be a committee's choice to play in Atlanta instead of Auburn as a one seed? With the loss Friday, there's a slight possibility of it, I think, with a loss Friday, but I don't think I think Auburn's been the one seed in Atlanta for a reason all season long. It would be surprising to see someone nudge ahead.
I would say they don't want to take a chance that something crazy happens and they lose. Florida wins the SEC tournament. Florida winds up being the
– Alabama wins the SEC tournament, for that matter. An Alabama team that just beat Auburn and would put – Alabama would have a very interesting NCAA tournament resume.
They would. They just have more losses.
They do. They do.
And remember, they had lost 4 of 6 coming into the Auburn game.
So they had fallen, yeah.
So you couldn't really use the how well you played coming down the stretch thing for Alabama as well as you could for Florida.
Right. I think it would take an SEC tournament victory for I think if Bama won the SEC tournament, I'd be curious to see what the committee did with them. Like, as far as did it move them ahead of
who? Florida?
Did it move them ahead of Florida?
Because Florida appears to be the number 4 one seed.
Could Bama, or for that matter Tennessee, play their way onto the one line with a conference tournament championship, or is that solidly Florida's? Is that Florida's?
I think Florida. If Florida doesn't go out early, I think it's tough to bump them.
Yeah, so I think there are. Yeah,
why I'd feel Florida has the best shot of being able to disrupt that. But they're already a one seed.
Yeah, yeah.
So, all right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. What do you think? 334-321-1390. Come on in and join us here on the Tuesday Drive.
From day one back in 1907, Auburn Bank's mission has been clear: to serve our community.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Dan here, Drew at the controls, and we'd love to hear from you. If you didn't get a chance to get through yesterday with your thoughts on the Auburn-Alabama game from Saturday, any of the consequences from that, you can chime in with that. Obviously, looking ahead toward the SEC tournament, which gets underway tomorrow, and up in Nashville, Auburn baseball hosting Vandy this weekend. So the Vandy baseball team getting out of town, coming down here. While the SEC tournament's going on up in Nashville.
Are you were you surprised? It wasn't just I guess some ESPN pundits on Saturday and Monday and some callers to our show yesterday raised the possibility of playing time discipline for Chad Baker-Mazzara after what happened against Alabama on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, there have been quite a few people who have said something about that, and it's interesting.
Do you think that's on the radar for groups?
No, I don't think that that's I don't think that's going to be part of the plan. I wouldn't be stunned if
do you think if it was a regular season game instead of the SEC tournament? It would be easier to digest, possibly, for
I wonder or
more palatable for the coaching staff and team. Because it's a high-stakes game, right?
Maybe,
you don't want.
Because
like we said, one of the problems with punishing Chad by taking him off the floor is that not only does it diminish Auburn's chances of winning, but also you ask his teammates, right, to carry a larger burden like the game against Alabama. You know, suddenly Denver and Miles and Tahad and whoever else, I guess Ja'Kai.
That's true, yeah. But I mean, he forced his teammates to carry a bigger load because of what he did already. So it's
But I think when considering, I
mean, that sounds like an argument against you should never suspend anybody because it hurts the rest of the team.
No, but I think
that's part of what it is.
I think you weigh whether or not what he's done warrants I think you consider that as part of the discipline. The fact that it's not now. If what he's done is egregious enough that it merits a suspension, despite that, acknowledging what it means, you know, his role on the team and what it means when he's not there. Like if you need to suspend him either way, I think you go ahead and do it. But I absolutely think what I
don't know is what Bruce and the staff have seen when they look at the video and see what was leading up. Bruce talked about it after the ball game about, you know, the calls or non-calls before that. But I don't know how many times that Bruce has sat down with Chad and talked to him about this, how many discussions there have been. I think a lot of that's what we don't know. I mean, if we knew that it had been a constant, we know there's been discussion, but I don't know how much.
And he just played one of the best weeks of his career, right? When you think about Ole Miss and Kentucky, he was brilliant.
Oh, you're right. When it was questionable because, you know, how healthy was he?
He was brilliant in the Ole Miss game, the best player on the floor for extended stretches. And then against Kentucky, I mean, it won the posts, right? I mean, you think about Auburn won the Kentucky game at the perimeter, mm-hmm. with Miles and with Chad and with Tahad Denver. and with Denver until he gets hurt,
right?
And, you know, so I mean, and then of course we don't see a lot of that second half, but still, like Chad, I think Chad is another player who needs to get his confidence back this weekend in Nashville in order to be the best player possible for the NCAA tournament. Because it wasn't like Chad was playing great and then the flagrant two happened.
No, right? You're right. He wasn't having a great game.
No, I think that's Alabama. You know, I would think Chaney and Chad are two prime examples of players you look at and you say, granted for different reasons, but I think there are two players where you're like, boy, a strong showing in Nashville would settle some jitters about what you have in those two players going into the NCAA tournament. And I'll tell you what, a poor showing in Nashville by either of those two players would only make you more nervous, right, Bill, mm-hmm. about Auburn's NCAA tournament chances. If there's some sort of hangover from what happened against Alabama for Chad and he plays poorly in Nashville, you're real concerned about his frame of mind, right, going into the NCAA tournament, what Auburn thinks they have. I mean, remember with Ja'Kai Howard. It's not necessarily what Ja'Kai can or can't do on the floor that limits his playing time.
No, you're exactly right.
And I think with Chad, there's that danger, right, of getting into a spot where it's not the minutes you're getting aren't just about what you can and can't do. It's a matter of can you be trusted in every second of every game to stay in control. And I think with and then with Chaney, it's just sort of a matter of I think that it's, I had somebody ask me this weekend, is there any concern that the book is out on Chaney or he's hit a wall or something? And I think
that doesn't seem like it to me. Yeah. It's I don't know if Chaney has lost a little confidence or something, but I mean, Chaney was coming off, some really good ball games, but the last three or four ball games, I don't really even know how to describe how he is not just been ineffectual. He hasn't been able to be involved. He's gotten fouls has been about the only thing that have been consistent, and they've been way too consistent the last couple of games. You got some news?
You know, I'm going to find out. I'm going to find out from my source if I'm allowed to say this on the air during the commercial break. We could have breaking news as we come back. I'm also we've said that you're out tomorrow, right?
Yes, I am out tomorrow.
I'm going to try Barry McKnight maybe tomorrow at 5. I think a phone call with Barry would be a lot of fun after the Troy Trojans mm-hmm. win the Sun Belt tournament yesterday in the Pensacola Bay Center. And again, congratulations. But the first year, I don't know if you've seen some of the shots of of that final.
No, but like I
that
have not.
That and you've been inside that building.
Yeah.
Like that building was rocking. You know, when there's a crowd and they're into it, that place can get pumped. Hockey games, etc. Like the Pensacola Bay Center, I have this crazy dream, Bill, of I think Auburn men's basketball would pack that place. I think if Auburn,
well, I think that'd be a great place to play.
Instead of these expensive,
lot of Auburn fans in Northwest Florida.
Instead of these expensive tournaments, I think you throw a little Pensacola party in December. You know, you pick a bye week or something for the football team. Maybe the Saturday after the SEC championship game when nobody's playing, and you find a couple of opponents. I don't know if you want to play a back to back or if you just want to do like a big Saturday night. You know, find a big opponent and do a Saturday night game, but I think there'd be a lot of potential for something like that, and between Pensacola Beach and downtown Pensacola, I mean, and the arena itself, like I don't know, I had a great time at the Sun Belt. We'll talk to Barry about the Sun Belt tournament, and by the way, that's a pretty good baseball team they got in Troy. Auburn saw them earlier this year.
Oh yeah,
and they're hanging around the top 20 as well in a good Sun Belt. So yeah, we'll talk. Could have some more updates for you as we move on.
Look, I'm looking at Chaney Johnson's game by game numbers, and he came through a stretch: Oklahoma, Florida, Vandy, Alabama, Arkansas, where he scored 13, 13, 20, 14, and 14, and had 6, 6, 5, 6, and 6 rebounds in those games. Since then, he had 4 points. And 4 fouls against Georgia. Did come back and have 13.6 rebounds against Ole Miss. But his last 3 games against Kentucky, Texas A&M, and Alabama, he's combined for 10 points and 5 rebounds, but 10 fouls. So, I mean, Chaney hasn't had a game with fewer than 3 fouls in exactly a month. February 11th, against Vandy was the last game he didn't have at least 3 fouls in. All right, we
do have some breaking news.
We will get to our final break of hour number 1. Love for you to join in here on the Tuesday Drive.
The Drive, 321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, final segment of hour number 1 here on this Tuesday afternoon. Again,
don't want to keep people on edge.
Yeah, okay.
The breaking news.
Dan has found out that he does have more basketball to call.
The Troy Trojans are the WNIT's automatic qualifier out of the Sun Belt this year. So Troy is in the WNIT, and I will that's good news for folks who enjoy when I miss the show, and good news for folks who enjoy watching the Troy Trojans or enjoy listening to the Troy Trojans play basketball. So you'll have
a game sometime next week.
Yeah. And as we started the show, big shout out, big shout out to our friends with the Troy Trojans, right? Who the men's basketball team, including our buddy Barry McKnight,
first NCAA tournament appearance since 2017,
and the first one for Coach Scott Cross. Mm-hmm. And Bill, you know, we talk about bad trades sometimes on this show or regrettable decisions. UT Arlington fired Scott Cross like the year after he made the NCAA tournament there, thinking they'd plateaued and thinking they could do better. And I want to say he's a UT Arlington alum and alumnus, and he's out of the game a year. He is brought into Troy, and he's just steadily gotten them better and better. Brought back basically the whole roster from last year as far as upperclassmen go, it's remarkable in a competitive Sun Belt with teams like JMU, won 30 games last year, and Arkansas State, who folks thought might be the best mid-major in the country coming into the season. The scrappy Troy Trojans are the team that not only wins a share of the regular season title, they're going to the NCAA's out of the Sun Belt.
Yeah, so congratulations, and we'll see where where Dan is. So you've got a feeling that they might be on the road?
Yeah, we'll see. Next week is Troy's spring break, so I think they would prefer to play a road game versus the alternative, which is host a game when I think a lot of the personnel that would work that home game are currently planning on not being in Troy that week. When you think about like university employees and administrators and a lot of the season ticket holders in the area, so I think it'd be better. I mean, you get how it is, Bill. Like, you'd probably not like to surprise. You don't want to host a surprise game on your spring break.
No,
because you could suddenly. Yeah, a lot of plans would have to change if suddenly you're playing a home game the week of the university's spring break. And so Troy's trying. I think Troy's trying to avoid that and play on the road the first week.
Yeah, so, well, that does make sense. We want to remind you again, Jake Crane will be joining us at 5:30. Our thanks to Andy Burcham, voice of the Tigers, who was with us for the first couple of segments, talking some basketball and baseball. To start the show, if you missed that or any of the drives, check out the podcast.
That's right. Podcast of the Drive, available wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Go to ESPNAU.com and use the Podcast Center, or go to your favorite podcast platform and search for The Drive with Bill Cameron. And it's available wherever you get your favorite podcasts, all presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
Hour number two of The Drive coming up. I can hear the music. I'm hearing some music lightly. So yeah, we're done with hour number one of the Tuesday Drive. Come on in and join us in the second hour of the show. That's all.
Capital of Alabama. This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two here on the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio, along with Drew, who's at the controls. And hour number two of the show brought to you, as usual, by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. We spoke with Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers, at the top of the show. Andy, up in the Huntsville area there at the site of the Trash Pandas.
It has a name.
It does. Is it Toyota Field?
They're Rocket City, Rocket Bill. City. They're in Rocket City, the Rocket City Trash Pandas.
Well, Rocket City is actually the nickname for Huntsville. Did you know?
I mean, right, right. Well, I mean, because
Has been for a long
time. Yeah, because of Space Camp.
Yes, that's right.
It's not,
no,
that's
because
not.
Of Space Camp. Space Camp's there because there were rockets already being built there.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
It goes back to like Wernher von Braun and folks up there in Huntsville. But yeah, Auburn and UT Martin baseball tonight. Now, I heard this earlier. It is not the final non-conference game of the year, but it's the final non-conference game
tune-up
before. Yep. We get into SEC play.
Auburn still has got some midweek games during conference play.
Auburn has played 16 games. You have a 56-game schedule. This will be game 17.
You play 30 conference games.
30 conference games, and you'll play 26 non-conference. They played 16. This will be 17. So that would tell you there are 9 more non-conference games. And think about it. This is the non-conference game before the first of 10 weekend series. There are 9 more weekend series and 9 more scheduled non-conference.
They're
games.
Done playing non-conference games on the weekends.
Non-conference series are done.
Yeah. You're playing them during the week.
Yeah. Yeah, so there'll be single games in non-conference.
Trash Pandas are a AA affiliate of the Angels, by the way. Our buddy Sonny DeShera played for the Trash Pandas. Might still be a Trash Panda. I forget if he's moved up up or down in that Angel system.
He was going to
camp
expected, I think, to move up, but we'll, yeah.
Tell you what, I just
we could have asked Andy that, because I think he just had Sonny on his one of his podcasts.
That's right. The former Mobile Bay Bears, by the way, the Rocket City Trash Pandas. A lot of the Bay Bears stuff moved to Rocket City. And
I mean, as far as the affiliation or what? I mean,
no, I mean, well, yeah. So like, so the Mobile Bay Bears are gone,
right?
And I believe that a company purchased the Bay Bears from whoever owned them and moved
them. That's
sort
of a shame. It was really cool having Mobile and Pensacola having teams.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I went to a couple, and the Bay Bears ran into trouble where they bounced around to a couple different affiliations, and I think the ballpark ran into issues as well. But the ownership group of the Trash Pandas purchased the Bay Bears with the intention of moving them to Madison. Like that's how Rocket City / Huntsville got a team, and then they became the Rocket City Trash Pandas once they moved from Mobile. This happened about a decade ago, give or take. But yeah, it's a cool ballpark, and Auburn will Auburn, like you said, UT Martin. There's history there with Auburn too. Remember?
Well, Ryan Jenkins, yeah, former Auburn catcher, is the head coach of UT Martin,
and
I'm just checking on Sonny. Actually, finished last year. He played most of the year at high A, so I would say double A is probably going to be his target. The chance for him to be back in the state,
sure, and that'd be great. That'd be great for him as a guy who is not from too far
from
area,
Birmingham
as well. UT Martin, Bill, I believe, was the team that got all of the Auburn Russell Athletic gear, right? Weren't they the? Weren't,
oh,
aren't
you're
they the,
absolutely right.
Aren't
sure
they the Warhawks?
Got the orange. Got the orange and blue. Unis.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to look like Auburn's playing an inter-squad game tonight with UT Martin in town, because as the story goes, when Auburn made the switch, and this is timely with what's happening in May.
Yeah, because there's another one coming.
When Auburn made the switch from Russell Athletic to Under Armour, as the story goes, they sold a lot of the Russell Athletic branded Auburn apparel and gear to the University of Tennessee Martin,
which gave them a really good deal.
Gave them a good deal, and UT Martin got a lot of gently used SEC quality equipment and merchandise. They got it because they had the same color scheme, and even with some of the bird stuff. You're talking about the Warhawks, and so they I believe they played Auburn in football. Shortly after the switch, and it looked like A-Day.
Mm-hmm.
Like it looked like Auburn was playing, a scrimmage against themselves. And it was,
the unis are sharp.
Yeah.
Sharp,
oh, for sure. I think a lot of that Russell Athletic gear was cool, and it was local, right? You think about it,
Alex City.
That's the Russell in Russell Athletic is Russell County, Russell County, Alabama. So it's anyways, yeah. That's one of the things I always think of. We've played them in basketball. Troy has played them in basketball recently enough, and it's a cool little note about UT Martin. I wonder if they are curious. I wonder if they'd like a deal on some Under Armour gear, Bill. Like
yeah,
I wonder, I wonder if Auburn needs to make a call and wonder.
I don't think they've changed colors.
Do you think that's what they're really doing here tonight? Actually, they're not here. You're right. But if they were playing baseball in Auburn tonight, they would be. They'd be checking out kicking the tires on some of the Under Armour.
Auburn's got quite a few different combinations too. That could be a pretty good deal for the Hawks.
Yeah, while they're there tonight, they might take a look at the uniforms and cleats that the guys are rocking to see if they see anything they like.
All right, we mentioned yesterday we were talking about some of the postseason honors that Auburn is reeling in more from the AP today.
We didn't get into too much of the SEC stuff yesterday.
We were
barraged, but yeah, Janai, Player of the Year, Bruce, Coach of the Year. I don't believe. I should double check this, Bill. But in the two other years that Auburn had the SEC Player of the Year, which was Porter and Barkley,
right?
I don't think Auburn had the Coach of the Year.
They didn't have the Coach of the Year with Charles. No, I mean, even though we love Sonny.
Yeah, I don't think Auburn has ever swept player and coach in the same year.
They have.
I'll check to see who the SEC Coach of the Year was in 1999. But I think that would be history for Auburn to win player and coach of the year in the same season. And Chad is also Denver's first team. All defense.
Denver's first team all defense.
Todd's on the all freshman team.
Todd Pettiford is on the all freshman team, And then Chad Baker Mazzara's third team all conference. That was that was from the coaches.
I imagine if they expanded the all defense team or had a second team all defense, Dylan would have been a contender for it. Dylan is a metrics darling defensively this year and constantly gets shouted out for honors like that. Although I think Denver Jones absolutely earned his spot, and it's tough to get more than one player on the SEC's all defense team, especially in an era of 16 team SEC basketball. But a pretty incredible run there for for Auburn in the postseason awards.
Yeah. Now comparing the coaches and the AP teams, the AP all conference honors announced today, and Jahni Broome is the AP SEC Player of the Year. He's joined on the first team by Walter Clayton Jr. of Florida, Trey Johnson of Texas, Chaz Lanier of Tennessee, and Mark Sears of Alabama, which is basically the same. Now, on the coaches' first team, Zakai Ziegler is on the first team, and there is there's no Trey Johnson on the first team. He's second team. Yeah. By the coaches.
My big problem with the all conference list. All right, I talked to you about it a little bit during the commercial break. You can already guess. Like, where is Asa Newell? How do you have
Asa Newell was not on the coaches or the AP's first two teams.
He wasn't on the coaches' first three.
That's right. Yeah. Coaches had three teams.
Yeah, Asa
he wasn't in the top 15 players on the coaches. Or the top 10 on the AP.
Bill, you followed this league this season.
I think Asa Newell's one of your top 15 players.
Yeah.
I think he's probably one of your top 10 players.
Yeah, and I think Ferguson votes in the AP, and Ferguson was talking on the most recent Auburn Observer podcast about why he voted Asa Newell on his first team. He had Asa Newell as one of the five best players in the SEC this year, and to see him left off...
Who do you bump?
Taylor.
But the AP.
Who's the AP's first team?
AP's got Sears, Chaz Lanier, Walter Clayton Jr., Trey Johnson, and Jahni.
As the first team?
Yes. I don't know who you bump.
Chaz or Trey. I think I could make a case to bump either of them for Asa Newell potentially. Asa Newell was the best player on a resurgent Georgia team.
He was, but I mean Trey Johnson is the freshman of the year.
I know.
If you're freshman of the year, but another freshman beats you out for first team, that's hard. And it's funny now, Chaz Lanier was the coach's newcomer of the year.
Yeah.
Trey Johnson is newcomer, and they just did newcomer. The AP doesn't separate freshmen from other newcomers. They say newcomer of the year, it can be a transfer, it can be a freshman. And the AP voters voted Trey Johnson as the freshman of the year. So. As the newcomer of the year. But anyway, more honors for Auburn. The only Auburn player since all the AP announced was just first and second team, player of the year, coach of the year, and newcomer of the year. It is Bruce Pearl and Jahni Broome. Jake Crane of Crane & Company going to be joining us at the bottom of the hour. We'll get his thoughts on the SEC tournament. How important is it for any of the teams? Who is it most important to? I would guess Texas. Texas needs to win it.
Well, Texas.
Because
Texas,
that may be the only way they get into the tournament.
Yeah, Texas, South Carolina,
Texas,
and LSU.
And the other teams that aren't even close to being on the bubble.
Yeah, Texas, South Carolina, and LSU look like they're not in the NCAA tournament if it were to start today. Texas is closer than those other two SEC teams.
But, yeah, because they're one of the first four out.
Yeah. And South Carolina and LSU are
they're way, way out.
They're one of the last four. They're one of the last four, period. Like, they're one of the last four major conference teams in college basketball. So I wonder if both of those coaches are secure, right? Like, there has mm-hmm. because teams are waiting until seasons finish.
Right.
And seasons haven't finished yet. ACC, we've seen a couple of shakeups in the ACC, including, by the way, a name that seems to come up every time we talk about a vacancy or a potential vacancy, Bill, a guy who is itching to get back into major conference college basketball, former LSU coach Will Wade,
right,
is the reported clubhouse leader for the NC State job that just opened up. So if I'm an SEC,
I can't imagine why not.
So if I'm an SEC, so if I'm an SEC team,
now that you got NIL. Strong offers are just fine,
and there are multiple NC State alums that have done pretty well for themselves in the NBA, and for that matter in the NFL. Phillip Rivers made some money, right? Mm-hmm. So I mean, there are some folks that could be Russell Wilson left on bad terms.
I wonder how much Phillip Rivers is gonna be giving to for NC State basketball.
Well, just in athletics in general. Yeah. I think there's the idea that they could be well positioned in the athletics realm moving. And that's a place that has cared about basketball.
They were just
in the Final Four.
Like, right.
Like the last Final Four we had NC State in it. And yet they're making a change. But I wonder at all three of those places, Texas, LSU, South Carolina, I wonder how certain they are that their men's basketball coach is returning. I wonder if any of those coaches.
I thought LSU announced that he was back.
LSU did settle sort of the McMahon intrigue because it was probably making it harder for him to recruit.
I'm sure you're
like
right.
I imagine any attempt to recruit his way out of this was being hampered by the sword hanging over his head. So yes, it will be. But I think South Carolina and for that matter, look, Texas hasn't felt secure since the slide started. Like I can understand with that roster, I can understand folks at Texas looking at Coach Terry and thinking, this was an experiment, and these results are troubling enough that maybe it's time to make a change and bring in someone.
Texas expects to be, not just competitive. They expect to be competing for titles.
Is it not
competing to try to make the tournament?
If you're
be the
if,
14th team from the conference,
if you're making decisions in Texas athletics, isn't it a crisis if you miss the NCAA tournament in men's basketball or women's basketball? Like
absolutely
I think with like considering how many teams make it and your path to, I mean, how many SEC games did you need to win this year to be solidly in? To be solidly in the NCAA tournament.
6-12, and you're in this year.
I think it's a little bit like finishing last in baseball a couple years in a row, right? Like it doesn't take.
I don't know. Texas won six. I guess that wasn't enough.
Doesn't take much for it to be a crisis, though.
Seven for sure.
And I could see Texas looking at it and thinking there is I don't know. They could go elsewhere for that job and turn things around more immediately. We'll see what happens there. But I would agree. I think that the tournament feels more important for those teams. It'd be a shame if Oklahoma was one and done and they didn't get in. Mm-hmm. Off of that, because it seemed like the win over Texas maybe punched their ticket. They had a rough February, though. Like I think they're I know they finished strong with a pair of wins that they needed. I wonder what the committee would do with an Oklahoma team that gets bounced in their first game in the NCAA tournament. I still think they're in. Or gets bounced in their first game in the SEC.
Lunardi's got them as one of the last four byes.
Right. So I think maybe a loss in – and they play LSU, right? Or maybe I have that wrong. Do I have that?
Wait a minute. Oklahoma plays
Are they in the second?
They've got Georgia.
Okay.
They've got Georgia. Last game of day one tomorrow.
If Oklahoma loses to Georgia, I could see them slipping onto the.
They probably will lose to Georgia, but I think right now most people feel like they're.
Are they in Dayton with a loss to Georgia?
I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. How many one-bid conferences have an upset? Because any upset there to a.
Some bid
to,
thieves.
Yeah. That could hurt Oklahoma. Yeah, we'll run down. Tell you what, we'll run down the schedule for day one of the SEC tournament. When we come back, we'll get to our first break here in hour number two. Hey, you can join us. Call us on the Drive Hotline, 334-321-1390. That's sponsored by Skybar.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available wherever you get your favorite podcast. Big shout out to our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
And we're right back here on the Tuesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. Bill and Dan here with Drew at the controls. And, yeah, I mean, we go way off tangent during the breaks. I don't know how we get to some of the things we get to, but it's fun.
I think you were singing the Lumberjacks song, and that's how
well,
we got to
Well, that's right.
That.
We looked up, and the Lumberjacks had come from 10 points down, and that reminded me of the Mighty Python.
Nothing's better than Champ Week. I'll tell you, ESPN Plus subscriptions pay for themselves this week because there's so much high-level, high-stakes college basketball all day long and well into the night, right? I mean, there are days where you're going to get 12, 14 hours of college basketball tournament action if you're willing to do a little channel surfing on the Plus and the different ESPN networks. But yeah, really exciting stuff. Have you seen the unusual which court has the tires? Is it the Big 12? Bill, look up the Big 12 tournament court because it's made some waves for being unusual looking I saw a thing that was going around earlier today. I know it made the round on social media the last couple of days. Vic Schaefer, the women's basketball coach at Texas, shouted out a couple players playing on it. It's got sort of an unusual look to it for sure. Vic Schaefer shouted out a couple of student reporters for Texas drove a very long way to go to the SEC tournament, and he made a point to shout them out during a post-game press conference, which I thought was cool. But some conference tournament action going on right now, and it's one of the best times of the year in sports.
Oh yeah, yeah, and it's time when I forget and I'm reminded of some of the team's nicknames.
I mean,
that's where we've got the Lumberjacks and the Lady Grizz,
and the Grizz baby,
the Lady Grizz.
So we saw
what you call a female grizzly bear.
I think
she wants to be called. Is what you call her. Oh man! All right, SEC tournament gets underway tomorrow. As we were saying, we mentioned that the Oklahoma Georgia game wraps things up. South Carolina Arkansas is the first game of the day. Again, Arkansas, a team I think a lot of people feel like look out for Arkansas. I mean, this is a team that you could see it all year long. They were very talented, and at times they looked really, really good. I mean, going into Kentucky and knocking off, Cal's former school. But Arkansas is there on the side of the bracket with Auburn. The winner there will take on Ole Miss, and then Auburn will play the winner of that matchup. But the other games on tap tomorrow. Let's see. When is the first game tomorrow? Is it 11?
Noon Eastern, right? Is that
noon Central?
Oh, okay,
noon
okay.
Central. I need to go a little larger on that. So okay, noon is South Carolina Arkansas, followed by the second game of the morning session is Texas and Vandy, and again. That's a tough one for Texas, as Vandy, Vandy's another physical team. So we'll see. If Texas loses tomorrow, I wouldn't be surprised. We're talking about their situation there. I wouldn't be surprised to see Coach Terry sort of handed his walking papers if they get bumped in the first round by the Doors.
A lot of quality candidates out there that Texas would be looking at. I just it's tough to underachieve, and they had a lot of talent this year. If they're not in the NCAA tournament, it's just a tough one. Hey, speaking of coaches, I know was there anything more about the SEC tournament you wanted to?
No. I was just going to run down the other games. Evening session. The first game is LSU and Mississippi State. followed by that Oklahoma-Georgia game we were talking
about. Is there a team outside the top four that you think could make a run and win a couple of games? Or is there a – how about this?
Top
think,
four in
– Is there a – yeah, look at the SEC bracket. Is there
– like I think Arkansas is a team outside the top four that could win a couple of games.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, if it's not Auburn, Tennessee, and Bama, Florida on Saturday, who's in there?
I think Vandy could too. I mean, I think Vandy could. Vandy's got Texas, and then the winner there's got A&M.
I think
they've already beaten Tennessee too. If
Vandy beats Texas, I think that Vandy A&M game is going to be crazy physical.
Yep,
which is probably advantage Tennessee.
That will help Tennessee. But I still
think Tennessee could lose to either of those teams. And, you know, as far as like teams are going to crash the party, I don't love Georgia's chances of winning two games.
No, I think Kentucky, as far as a team that's not one of the top four seeds, Kentucky's the team on the other side of the bracket that could make a run.
If Georgia only had to win one game and then they played Florida, like I think Georgia could maybe do it.
Well, see, Georgia would have to beat Oklahoma, then Kentucky, and then Alabama.
That's what I mean. Alabama, I'm sorry. If Georgia only had to play one game and then if Georgia only had to play one game and then play Alabama,
yeah.
I would think, okay, Georgia maybe has the stuff to do it. Winning two games and then getting a rested Alabama team, I know these are young guys we're talking about. I know the legs are spry, Bill, but still playing back to backs and then a third game in a row against a rested Alabama team with the pace Alabama wants to play. Those legs are going to be heavy in the second half.
Yeah.
Right? The thought of Kentucky could maybe.
Third game in 3 days is definitely when, I mean, you'll be feeling it.
Kentucky could beat Alabama.
Yes.
You know, on the second day of a back to back, potentially. I still would like Alabama. I'd pick Alabama in that game.
I would think
that if either of Georgia or Oklahoma got past Kentucky, that is a. They are.
Yeah. I think Alabama would be in feeling pretty good about this.
I think any team, Georgia or Oklahoma, just about any team in the league playing its third game in 3 days against a rested Alabama team is ripe for the pickings.
Well, and that's sort of what when we're talking about Arkansas. If Arkansas making a run, they'd be playing their third game in 3 days when Auburn would be playing their first game.
That's why Arkansas being behind Ole Miss. In this bracket, Arkansas being the – because it's the 8 and the 9, right?
Yes.
Like that's why Arkansas being the 8 and Ole Miss being the 9 is crucial here. Because I think if Arkansas were the 8 and they only had to win –
They only had to play one game? Yeah.
And then they play Auburn?
I'd be much more concerned about that.
And again, like we said, Ole Miss just a bad matchup. Like the front court for Ole Miss. And they had moments where it was pretty good. It's not a great matchup for Auburn. It's not a great matchup for Ole Miss if they were to draw. I think they would have rather played any of the other three top seeds in the SEC tournament than Auburn in the quarterfinal. Like if you're Ole Miss and you're trying to make a run,
I heard some conversation about Ole Miss and just be chomping at the bit to try to get revenge on Auburn. Sure, they'd love to get revenge on Auburn, but I think they know just like Auburn does. That's not a good matchup for
Ole Miss. I don't think it's one of those where
I think they would love to be on the other side of the bracket from Auburn if they're thinking about trying to play for a conference title, tournament title.
I don't get the sense. I don't get the sense, Bill, that Ole Miss feels like they played. You know they played two really really good games and they're close to beating Auburn.
They weren't. Not even.
Yeah,
close.
they've been beaten like a drum in four matchups with this group of Auburn players over the last two seasons, and it just to me if I'm Ole Miss and I'm trying to make a lengthy run, if Auburn's the opponent,
you can't. Well, Auburn's gonna be the opponent.
Yeah,
if they win, Auburn's the opponent. That's the thing. They can't hope somebody else is gonna knock Auburn off.
Then go ahead and talk yourself into whatever you know. Tell yourself whatever you need to tell yourself to be ready to play, but. I would think that's just about the last team they wanted to see in Nashville.
Yep. All right. We'll talk SEC tournament and more with Jake Crane when we come back. So stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive.
ESPN 106.7.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio. Drew at the controls, and we're going to head to the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. Welcome in our regular Tuesday afternoon guest here in this slot. That, of course, is Jake Crane of Crane & Company. Hey, Jake, how's it going?
Going good, guys. Appreciate y'all having me.
Yep. Well, here we are on the eve of the SEC tournament. Auburn, your SEC regular season champ, didn't finish the season the way they would have liked, not really even getting an opportunity to cut down nets and present the trophy. Are you concerned about Auburn as they head into the postseason?
I don't know if concerned would be the right word. I mean, look, the Texas A&M game, and look, you want to play to win every game. I mean, I think we all kind of saw that one coming. And then when it comes to Alabama, I mean, those are two top five teams. I mean, that was the type of game you got. Now, if there's areas where I don't think Auburn is playing as well as they did, I think physically down low, mm-hmm. not just rebounding, but defensively. I mean, Chaney Johnson disappeared. He was the guy, if you go back to when Auburn was really cooking, was a huge part, and it opened things up for Jani Broome and everybody else. So he's got to get going. I mean, you don't expect a lot of offense from Dylan Cardwell. He had 8 rebounds against Bama, but defensively, he's got to get back to where he was. So Auburn's not playing their best basketball right now, but, you know, they're still a really good team, and I think this reset could be good for them. As far as being concerned, look, if you'd have told me that we'd be 27-4 and win the SEC regular season outright and be the number one seed in the SEC tournament and probably the NCAA tournament overall, there's not a lot for me to be worried about, but I want them to be playing their best to be able to win it all.
Yeah, I mean, obviously at the start of conference play, I think we were all saying, hey, 13-5 might win this league. It's that good a league. And you go 15-3, it's just the recency thoughts, and you've lost the last couple of games. As you mentioned, Chaney, I mean, Chaney had that stretch where he scored double figures 6 straight games. But over the last 6, he's only scored in double figure once, and he's had 4 fouls in 4 of those 6 ball games. He's got to be able to be on the court, and when he's on the court, make an impact other than drawing fouls.
Yeah, and to me, it's not just even about scoring points. It's the defense and the
right.
rebounding. And a lot of Chaney's points came off his ability to get those second chance shots. And then, you know, being able to get offensive rebounds and put it back up and in, or draw a foul and get to the free throw line. So I don't think it's as much about him making jump shots or being this offensive juggernaut. He's got to be the difference defensively and rebounding, because that's what this thing's going to come down to.
Jake, we were talking a lot in hour number one about Chad Baker-Mazzara, right? And while you don't want to come down too hard on him. You don't want the incidents in the 2 games where he's been ejected to overshadow the brilliance of his Auburn career, because he did earn all conference honors after a season with a lot of ups, you know, a lot of peaks, and just some really notable valleys as well. And Bruce Pearl is making, you know, Bruce Pearl is right that the officials probably need to do more to limit, to call fouls earlier
on things that lead up.
Exactly. On the things that can lead. But ultimately the responsibility is with Chaney and higher on the chain there, Chad. Ultimately the responsibility is with Chad and also, with the people who decide if Chad plays and how much and if he's on the team. Your takeaways on sort of the Chad Baker-Mazzara situation?
Well, I mean, look, yeah, you got to know they're looking for you, man. I would just think that after you got kicked out of the most important game of the season before, even if it's a retaliatory thing, you grow from it. I don't understand why we're still having to have this conversation. And, I mean, he's 25 years old. I mean, we're not talking about Tahad Pettiford or a freshman that's doing this. So, yeah, look, they target him. He doesn't get a lot of the calls because of his reputation. That's part of the deal when you play that way. But, I mean, elbowing somebody in the back of the head, dude, I mean, what are you doing? I'd be more scared of what my coaches and putting my team in a bad position would be, because we need Chad Baker. He's a great player. And, yeah, you know, in football we say don't take their stinger away when it comes to targeting and all that stuff. But at some point, man, you got to realize where you're at. And the team comes first. And I just I'm just amazed we're still having to have this conversation. And I hope maybe now he'll learn from it. But do I have a lot of confidence at this point he will? If I'm if I'm the 16 seed playing Auburn, I'm doing whatever I can to get him upset in the first 5 minutes of that game.
Oh, you know that's going to happen. And you know, we were also talking about some of the ripple effects, too. Denver Jones is coming back from an injury. He has to play 38 minutes. You've got Tahad not having, you know, anybody who can give him a break because you've really got, you know, three players for three spots with Chad out. And then you see Tahad very uncharacteristically miss two out of three free throws that if he makes, if he just makes two out of three, you don't even go to overtime, you win the game. But, I mean, his legs, you could see that he was tired there missing. You know, he also missed a three-pointer badly there late. So, I mean, those are some of the effects from Chad not being out there.
It messes the flow up.
Yeah.
Like it messes the flow up. It doesn't go how it's supposed to go when that happens, and it messes the rotations up. And Auburn, I think Bruce Pearl, one of his most underrated qualities is what he's able to do with the rotations. I mean, it's incredible at the end of the day. So, yeah, and look, but now you're 0-0, man. Like, the SEC tournament, I think Auburn's going to be a number one overall seed regardless, and Joe Lunardi pretty much said as much. But now you can reset. You get all your guys back healthy. Everybody's ready to go. And you know when you're playing your best ball and you're playing your most mature ball that you're the best team in the country. So I think the rest, I think this double bye is the best thing that could have happened to Auburn.
Jake, I had some doubts about Alabama during their cold snap in February. And you know, even acknowledging that a lot of the flaws on this Alabama team were probably true of last year's team that went to the Final Four. But seeing Alabama against Auburn, when you don't have Mark Sears overwhelming the scoring column and you're still able to have nearly 50 points in the first half and nearly 100 points in the game because of contributions from Nelson and Filon and Omiyuri, like, to me, that's bad news for anybody who's going to see Alabama between now and the end of the season.
Well, look, if Cliff Omiyuri goes 7-for-7 from the floor and Grant Nelson's hitting threes, they're really tough to beat. And that's with Mark Sears having a bad game. But Alabama being really good is not a surprise to anybody. I mean, I think Alabama, I think Auburn, I think Florida. I'll be honest, I think Missouri's kind of scary at the end of the day when you look at the style that they play. So I wasn't as shocked about Alabama being good as some other people because Grant Nelson's played terrible over the last 2 weeks. And if you remember that Final Four run they went on, he was as important as anybody on that team.
He was huge for them.
Yeah, and when he shoots threes, it's like when Chaney hits threes. When your four is hitting threes and you can extend like that, you become almost impossible to guard. So Alabama's got a good enough roster to beat anybody. Auburn's got a good enough roster to beat anybody. And it wouldn't surprise me if you saw both of these teams in the Final Four at the end of the day. Because let's not forget, you're not going to play somebody as good as the top teams you've played in the SEC until maybe you get to the Elite Eight. Everybody says the Sweet 16, but I'm thinking it may be the Elite Eight.
Well, starting tomorrow is when you'll play the toughest teams that you're going to see until you get to the Elite Eight. But back to Cliff Omiyuri, if he's able to get offensive rebounds, he can go 7-for-7 a lot of the times. That's something that Auburn has got to be able to cut down is the opponent's offensive rebounds. Again, the number that I saw from the last three ball games, the combined number of defensive rebounds by Jahni Broom, Dylan Cardwell, and Chaney Johnson was 27, while the opponent's offensive rebounds were 46. So that's got to get better, or you're not going to be around there, you know, in the Elite Eight and beyond.
No, I mean, your rebounding is your run game at the end of the day. And look, is Jahni Broom the most physical big of all time?
No.
I think he's kind of more Walker Kessler than anything. I mean, his reach is so incredible and his timing's really good. But that's where Dylan Cardwell, and I'll say it again, like Chaney Johnson. Like, you got to step up and be that guy, man. And if Auburn doesn't get that, and I'll tell you this, go look at the games where Miles Kelly's had more than four rebounds. Auburn doesn't lose. So it's a full effort. It's everybody together at the end of the day, and Auburn's got to get back to that. And there's going to be nights where you're not shooting incredible. Mm-hmm. There's going to be nights where the ball's going in and out. You survived those games with rebounding and defense, and that's kind of gotten away from Auburn lately. So if they fix that, look, they could run through this tournament like bad Chinese food. So when you look at this team, it's got to get its edge back a little bit. It's got to get the chip on the shoulder back a little bit and get a little bit pissed off at the end of the day. I think that's what they've been missing.
You mentioned Missouri as a team you like stylistically. You know, outside of Auburn, Alabama, Florida, and Tennessee, right? The top four seeds. Is there a team that you think is positioned to make some noise in this SEC tournament in Nashville?
Well, I said Missouri. A&M, I just don't trust offensively. When I watched them, if Wade Taylor can shoot them out of games as quick as he can win them games. Ole Miss, I just down low. I don't know if they have enough to be able to win this tournament per se. But nothing would shock me in a league as good as this one. If we had a team kind of sneak out of nowhere, maybe Arkansas gets hot or something like that. That's how good this league is.
How about this? Kentucky's about as unpredictable a team as there is in the conference right now. They would only have to win one game to get Alabama on Friday. We were saying earlier, Jake, like if Georgia was in Kentucky's spot and they only had to win one game to get Alabama, I think Georgia could be a messy team in Nashville. I think trying to win two games and then play Alabama on a third day on full rest, I think anybody trying to play three games in a row and then playing Alabama is going to be in big trouble. Kentucky, it's the second day of a back-to-back, but they had a really interesting February, and they're old and talented.
Yeah, and look, when they get hot, I mean, Brea may be the best shooter in the country at the end of the day. I mean, that guy's incredible when he puts the ball in the air. But it's Kentucky's defense comes and goes. And you know what? I was shocked that Amari Williams was not on the first team in the SEC. I think outside of Jani, because Jani's more of a complete player, he's about as good as anybody when it comes to, you know, rebounding defensively, being able to score around the basket. He's like a better version of Cliff Amore from Bama. So I would never be surprised if Kentucky wins the tournament. I think we've all been kind of conditioned to that. But their lack of consistency, I think, is the difference in them. And as far as Georgia, I just don't think they're deep enough at the guard spot. Their front court's pretty deep. What they do down low, they got some guys that can really do it. But at the end of the day, I just don't think Georgia has enough depth. But I tell you, Mike White, it's getting scarier and scarier over there in Athens to go play those guys.
Yeah, you're right about that. Now, a team that we haven't mentioned, except for there in the top.
They are Georgia, before we get to the team you're about to mention. I think Georgia is one of those. This year in the NCAA tournament, Jake, you look at the teams that could be on the 7, 8, 9, and 10 line, the teams that are blocking the 1s and 2s from getting to the Sweet 16, there are some landmines in there. I think we're going to lose a couple of 1 seeds and 2 seeds the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. And the Georgia Bulldogs, with the way they're playing, to me, that sounds like no fun at all. If you're a 2 seed, you know, if you're Iowa State, and that's the team you got to go through to get to the Sweet 16. Yeah.
No, without it. I mean, any of these SEC teams. I tell you, I'm more confident in Georgia going further than Mississippi State right now, for being honest.
Hey, Georgia's the hottest team in the league right now.
I think Vanderbilt's physicality could
again,
mess with people.
Somebody's going to draw them, and that's a really, really, really tough draw at the end of the day. But, look, I would not be surprised. And I was trying to – because, again, until I can see the bracket, it's tough to say, well, how many of these SEC teams can get – to the Sweet 16 or whatever. I mean, I know a lot of them won't be playing against each other in the second round. But I tell you, man, I would not be shocked to look up and see 6 or 7 SEC teams in the Sweet 16.
No, and one of them that I mean, for the SEC tournament, it's good to have them on the other side, and that is that's Florida. The Gators.
Oh, God.
I mean, my goodness. What don't they have? They've got really good guards, and they've got the deepest – talented bunch of bigs that anybody in the country
I'll
has.
Tell you, they don't have to play the 7'7" French Canadian because they're so deep in the front court with Condon and Hauk. Yeah, Condon and Hauk and Handlogden's back.
And then the other guy.
Yeah, no, the big Chinyulu. I mean, they've got four
unbelievable.
They've got four forwards that would play pretty much anywhere in their front court. And I don't know how many teams in college basketball can say that about, you know, the top four guys getting minutes in their post.
Yeah, and then look at the guards. They may have the best trio of guards in the country. Like, you know, and again, it's Todd Golden's done such a good job putting that roster together. You know, when you look at Florida, to me, I think it's the best value in the country to win the NCAA tournament at, like, plus 900. Mm-hmm. And they're playing really well right now. Yep. So, yeah, I'm glad we wouldn't have to see them till the SEC championship game, and I hope we don't even come close to them in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, we don't even talk.
Keep them away.
Like,
that's exactly right.
Guys like Aberdeen and Klobzar, like, barely get mentioned when you talk about Florida, and they can come in and kill you on top of Richard and Clayton and all that. So yeah, Florida's like a they're built like a West Coast Conference team. Like, they're built like Gonzaga.
They're immune from foul trouble.
Yeah.
They're immune from it.
And
like, it's almost impossible to get Florida in foul trouble because they just keep rolling guys in there.
Golden has built them with the philosophy of like a Pac-12 or a West Coast Conference team, but he's done it with Florida's budget and Florida's resources, mm-hmm. and he's found the best players imaginable for those roles.
Yeah, and again, like, they put, the scariest thing about Florida is they play defense this year. Mm-hmm. Last year, they could score with anybody. I mean, it was them and Bama just trying to outscore you. Now they're elite defensively. They're elite affecting the shot, not just blocking the shot. And if Houck and Condon keep making three-pointers, just like I said about Alabama, I don't know how you beat those guys.
Yeah, fortunately, Auburn doesn't have to worry about that for a little while at least. Jake, great stuff as always. Tell folks what you got going, and if they haven't figured it out, how they can get to it.
Yeah, we're really easy to find, man. We're talking a lot of college basketball. Obviously going on with the tournament now, going to have a bracket challenge and all that. Just go to Google. It's CRAIN and company. We're easy to find.
All right, Jake, thanks, man. Enjoy the tourney. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, guys. Y'all too.
All right, see you, bud.
Need to get to our final break of the afternoon. Stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive.
Experience and knowledge from the pros. Russ.